right. Amen. Jonah chapter number 4. So this evening we get to finish up this great book. I titled the sermon this evening, What Ignorance Can Lead To. What Ignorance Can Lead To. Now, this book, if you just, I mean, just do a quick search on the internet. This book is taken grossly out of context by most churches today. I just did a search, you know, just to kind of see what people are saying. And it was just so much trash. It was unbelievable. I mean, everybody's using this chapter here to say that we have to be nice and that God loves the sodomites. I mean, it's just getting crazy out there with what people are willing to do just so they don't have to stand upon the truths and rightly divide the word of God. But thank God we're not like that. We're going to preach this for what it is. And so this evening we're going to look at what causes Jonah to have an emotional breakdown that's so intense that he actually decides he wants to die and tells God that. Okay, we got to look at why that happened, why and how did he get to that place? Because if you know the Bible, you've been paying attention over the last few weeks, you know that Jonah is definitely a seasoned prophet of God. Okay, I mean, God chose him for this mission. And here yet in this chapter, after one of the greatest revivals probably known to man throughout all of history, okay, this guy, instead of rejoicing, instead of being exceeding joyful and just happy, he wants to kill himself. He wants them, the Ninevites, to actually be destroyed. It's just crazy. I mean, think about how happy we are as even a church when one person gets saved on a soul winning day. Think about how happy you are when you get that person saved or when you get an entire family saved. Could you imagine getting an entire town of 600,000 people? And I'm not saying that's the exact number, but it was obviously a large scale of people that believed and got saved. We went over that last week. Could you imagine how happy you would be? We would definitely all be very joyous, but yet Jonah finds himself in this sulking position, this state of emotional destruction. And we've got to learn what causes this. Now, obviously, keep your place right here in Jonah 4. But go to 1 John chapter number 2. 1 John chapter number 2. And I'm going to say this as you're turning there to 1 John chapter 2, that you can summarize this chapter in a quick verse. And I would say this, the larger our ignorance of God is, the smaller our view of the brethren is, okay? That's what basically this points to. Because the moment that the Ninevites believe and they call upon the name of the Lord, Jesus said, hey, this generation is going to rise up in judgment against, you know, the generation that had rejected him and his miracles. It's pretty clear what this pictures. Okay. It pictures that, you know, when we don't understand God's characteristics, or we just fail to learn about God, but yet we keep doing the work of God, there's going to be a gap there. And that gap is going to show up as indifference or hatred, God forbid, towards the brethren. That's what you see every single time that you study this out. And let me just show you that right here. 1 John chapter 2, look down at verse number 9. So John says it like this. It says, he that saith, verse 9, he that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. Now, I've broken this chapter down, I think, over a year ago. It's not saying that you have to love your brethren or you're not saved. Okay, that's not what he's talking about there. The context is very clear in verse number 9. We're talking about being in the light. We're talking about not stumbling, about being a prosperous Christian. Okay, so verse 10, he that loveth his brother abideth in the light. There is none occasion of stumbling in him. However, look at the contrast here in verse 11. But he that hateth his brother is present tense in darkness. Okay, and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whether he goeth because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. You know, I found myself on the receiving end of this several times in the last 5 years that I've been a pastor. And every single time, it never ceases to amaze me some of the stupid things that you will see people do, some of the preposterous lies that they will create, some of the actions that they state they want to do. We had a group of people that said they were going to come down here and throw me and my family physically out of this building, and that Pastor Jimenez was going to send somebody right away to take over. That's the dumbest thing in the world. I mean, that just, and you bring this up, and I think about this, it's like, how in the world could someone get to that level? Well, if those types of people, because they're not alone, those people exist all over the place, by the way, okay? But to get to that level, you have to have this hatred in your heart, which blinds your eyes and basically causes you to stumble at life. Especially at the Christian life. That's the only explanation that you need and that we see. Now, you can leave your place there, but we're going to come back in the region of the New Testament there, so just prepare. But go back to Jonah chapter number 4. So again, the larger our ignorance, okay, the larger our ignorance of God is, the smaller our view of the brethren. And why is that? Well, quite simply put, it's because ignorance breeds pride. Okay, that's what it does. It breeds pride, and we know for a fact also that pride blinds us. Okay, so we're going to begin here in verse number 1, but I said 3 weeks ago that chapter 1 is basically a picture of Jonah running away from God. Chapter 2 is a picture of Jonah running towards God. Chapter 3, we see Jonah running with God. In chapter 4, you see that Jonah gets run over by God, okay? And so we're going to show you that here as we progress. So let's look down here at verse number 1. So the Bible says, but it, okay? Keep that word in your mind right there, it, okay? But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. So let's have a quick refresher. Just go one chapter back in your Bible, Jonah chapter number 3, and let's have a good refresher of what the it was that this is referring to it. Here, what caused Jonah to be exceedingly angry, okay, and displeased? Well, it's found right here where we left off last Wednesday, Jonah chapter 3 in verse number 10. The Bible says, and God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he said he would do unto them, and he did it not. So because they believed in verse number 5, they believed the preaching of Jonah, okay, they believed that, and then all the way from verse 5 to verse 10, we read the story about how they were like, hey, you know, God might actually destroy us. You know, we better make some changes here and stop doing all of this crazy stuff that we've been doing. And so they make those changes, okay, not for their salvation, but because Jonah had preached that to them and said, look, God is going to destroy you guys if you do not stop doing this stuff. They believe, they turn from that stuff, okay? And Jonah's like, all right, well, I guess my job's done here. I'm going to go chill over here and see what happens and just wait for the city to be destroyed. Okay. And because they listen, okay, because they didn't flip out and because God didn't instantly destroy them, he finds himself exceedingly angry, very displeased. And it's just like, what in the world's going on? What is it that Jonah doesn't see? Well, he doesn't view the Ninevites as worthy. That's what it is. He doesn't view them as worthy. So what does that mean here? Go to 1 Samuel chapter number 16. Keep your place here in Jonah 4. Go to 1 Samuel chapter number 16. And we're going to see three different points of ignorance in this story tonight. And number one is this, that Jonah is displaying ignorance of God's insight. Okay, Jonah is ignorant of God's insight. See, what are you talking about there, God's insight? What does that mean? Perfect picture of it right here in 1 Samuel chapter 16. This is where God had sent the prophet, the judge Samuel, to find and identify King Saul's replacement. Okay. And so as Samuel is at the house of David and, you know, David's father is bringing all the brothers in front of him, it's like, surely it's this guy. What about this one? What about this one? And God's telling Samuel, nope, nope, nope. Okay. Let's look and see if we can identify something here regarding God's insights. Look at verse number 7. So the Bible says right here, and it says, but when the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance, or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. And here it is. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Now go back to Jonah chapter number 4, and we'll see another example of that here in chapter number 4. So right there, 1 Samuel 16, very clear. God sees differently. God can see the actual insides in what is going on, whereas we have to put two and two together and think and really assess. We can't do it like God can, of course. Okay. So with that insight, with that understanding, look at what God says about the Ninevites who he preached to. Look at this here in verse number 11. So God says, and should not I spare Nineveh, that great city wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern, okay, cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle. Okay, now keep your place in Jonah 4, but go to 1 Timothy chapter number 1. Okay, so going back to this definition of ignorance, ignorance is a lack of knowledge or information. Okay, so when I say that, obviously sometimes today we say that, you know, and we mean it like kind of derogatory, like, ah, oh, you're real ignorant, just stupid, you're an idiot, you're a bozo. You know, there's a time and a place for that. And I'm not applying that type of definition to Jonah, but there are definitely some things that this chapter reveals about Jonah that display that he's ignorance towards, okay? And he's ignorance of God's insight. He has failed to realize that, I mean, think about all the trouble God went through to get Jonah, okay, from Tarshish to Nineveh, okay? He took an organic, natural submarine, okay, that God had built, otherwise known as a fish, the great fish. And it's like, obviously God cares about these people. If he's willing to go through those links to get you there, they believe you, okay? They say they're going to stop doing these things. They're so zealous right off the bat that they're like, we're even going to make the animals do this, okay? Like everything that lives and breathes is going to take part in this revival. And instead of him like, whoa, okay, God, that's why you had me come here, because you see on the inside, you look on the inward appearance, whereas obviously I've only seen the outward, okay? Instead of understanding that, he gets so upset that he can't even rejoice in the fact that he got to partake in one of the best preaching events that's probably ever taken place on this planet, okay? And so that is very key for us to understand. And so 1 Timothy chapter 1, look down at verse number 12. Okay, here's another picture of this in action here. Paul describes this for us. So 1 Timothy 1, verse 12, it says, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry." Now, let's just stop right there for a second. Okay, if you were to meet Paul before he got saved, what the stuff that he was doing, you know, there when the deacon Stephen was stoned to death, arresting Christians, just making havoc of the churches, the first thing you, and especially me, would be saying, this guy's a reprobate. That's what we'd be saying. He's repped up. There's no hope for him. He's the devil. We'd be praying for him to die. Right? That's what we would be doing. Let's be honest here. Let's just, everybody, just level head. That's what we'd be doing. You know it, okay? However, okay, God sees differently. Look at verse 13. So he's saying, hey, I'm thankful that God put me into the ministry, verse 13, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. What does that mean? It means that Paul consented to injuring people beyond physical capabilities, right? He put people to death, which caused not just physical damage, physical injuries, but he also caused emotional injuries to people's families, okay, by doing this. Look at the rest of the verse. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. Okay, now here's where you're rightly dividing the word really comes into play, because people will say this and they'll plug this into Jonah 4 and say, this is why your church is so wrong. This is why your church sucks and why there's no love there, because there's a group of people you won't let in and you got a sticker on the outside and blah, blah, blah. You guys know the drill very well. Okay, last part of the verse. Okay, Paul says it very clearly. Because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. Okay, reprobates do what they do, and they do it knowingly and in rejection. Okay, that's what you need to write down. So when people come at you with this and they say, well, hey, you know, your church is wrong and blah, blah, blah. And Paul said, you know, and Paul did all this crazy stuff. Okay, and he did. And they'll say, and God forgave Paul and even made him an apostle. That means that even Jeffrey Dahmer could become an apostle. I've heard it with my own two ears more than once. Your response, because you don't just know the Bible, you understand the Bible, is to come back with, yes, but reprobates do things knowingly and in rejection. Very clear in Romans chapter 1. That a reprobate, somebody who's been given over by God to that mindset, they know the truth, all of it. OK, Okay? And they have wholeheartedly rejected that truth. So you need to keep that in mind. Okay, Paul did it ignorantly and in unbelief, but reprobates do these things knowingly and in rejection. So if you can remember that, it's going to serve you well. Go to 1 Peter chapter number 3. 1 Peter chapter number 3. So again, what I believe that this story is highlighting for us right out of the gate, right off the bat, is Jonah's ignorance, okay, of God's insight in how he sees people. And thank God we have this great God-given commentary of the New Testament to really make sense of this thing. And I mean, you understand 1 Timothy 1, Romans 1, you're not going to have any issues clearing things up for people. Okay, now look at this here. So here's what we do about this, 1 Peter 3. Look down at verse 21. So the Bible says this, "The like figure, whereunto even baptism doth also now save us," not water, okay? Look at this parenthetical statement. He says, "not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ." So our job, and you can go back to Jonah 4, our job is to look for this answer and to understand it thoroughly. When somebody is repeating this answer to you, okay, the difference between someone who can spot red flags and somebody who just, oh, you said Christ Jesus and salvation's free, you're saved, it's just good to go. Okay, the difference between those two people is how well the one who sees red flags really understands what happens when someone's born again. Okay, and I don't have time to get all up into that. You guys understand that we've talked about that in the past. We understand the true gospel is free forever. Okay, we know what happens when a person gets born again. Okay, but when people are ignorant of that, okay, and they just, oh, you know, they claim the name of Christ, they're brothers too, okay, they wind up in la-la land in deep, dark trouble. So our job is to look for this answer that Peter talks about here to identify whether or not somebody is saved or lost, okay? And obviously if somebody's clearly a sodomite, but they're like, well, I believe that Jesus is God too, you know, and they've got their little flamboyant thing. You know, okay, you know what you're dealing with there. You know the Bible well enough to discern that there's a problem there, okay? That's what I'm trying to say. I have to bring this up in today's day and age because all these passages that we're going over, people are using to try to attack us, okay? Look, I think it was Brother Evan on Sunday. We went to this apartment complex. It'd been like 2 years since we'd been there. And he at least talked to like two different people that like knew our church and didn't like it. I got by today, I've gotten three other phone calls from people and the apartment complex itself, like, and they're going to get it after the service. I've been waiting all day to respond and I am going to respond. They sent me a screenshot of the littering laws here. And like, you're littering. Apparently you don't understand definitions and your church just said this. I believe you chose to solicit here. It's like, wow. Talking about ignorance today. What a display of ignorance that is. We don't solicit. Everybody in here knows that. Go look up the definition of soliciting and what we're doing does not fit the bill. If we were to go down to the city hall tomorrow and apply, our church apply for a solicitation license, they would say, what do you need it for? What are you going to be doing? What are you selling? Okay, nothing. Oh, well, you don't need it. You're free to leave. Okay. It's that simple. That's the definition. Not to mention that the laws in this country allow us to do that. And it's not like we're taking our invites anyways and just throwing them all over the floor, right? That's not what we do. We put them in the door. We have the right of freedom of press. And because we don't have a budget to be able to get our information out there, there are laws on the books that allow us to print our own materials and walk them or drive them to people's residence and leave them there in a responsible manner. So our intentions are not to litter. Our intentions are to make people literate of the gospel and of the fact that there's a church here and so on and so forth. Okay, but people hate us. They don't like us. They want us to cease to exist. And so they see us come to their apartment and just burn with anger. It's like, I'm going to type up this suave email and make them feel bad. Well, you messed with the wrong guy, okay? And that is a fact. So enough of that. I don't even know why I'm talking about that anymore, but that was free. Okay. Point number one, Jonah is ignorant of God's insight. So that's one of the reasons why you see this great man of God, this great prophet, whom God went through all this trouble to do this spectacular miracle of bringing him from his disobedience in Tarshish to his obedience in Nineveh. Okay. He just wants to kill himself. He just wants to die. Okay, it's one of the reasons is because he doesn't understand how God views people, how he views the brethren, okay, how he views people that just don't know the truth because they did it ignorantly and in unbelief, just like Paul. So let's move on here. Verse number two, the Bible says this, goes on to say, and he prayed unto the Lord. Okay, so Jonah, and he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore, I fled before unto Tarshish. Now, pay attention to this. For I knew. Okay, remember that. For I knew. What did he know? What does he say he knows? For I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. So Jonah knows this. This great prophet here, he knows what? He knows that we have a gracious God, that he's merciful, slow to anger, of great kindness, and that he repenteth of the evil, meaning he turns from evil when his conditions are met. So what does this mean? Well, this means Jonah, he knows God's attributes, but yet something's lacking. What is it? You got to understand what this is because this contributes to his emotional breakdown. And it's this. Go to Proverbs 2. Ignorance. So Jonah displays an ignorance of knowledge versus understanding. Okay, Jonah displays ignorance of knowledge versus understanding because he knows the attributes of God. He knows this. Okay, and that's why he ran. Because he knows this. He's like, I don't want to see those people. You know, I know how my God is. I don't want them. But he doesn't understand. You say, what's the difference? Knowing is an awareness of information, facts, and truths. Okay? But understanding is the interpretation, the processing, and then really the application of that awareness, of those facts, of that truth. Okay? That's the difference there. And so they are mentioned differently here in the Bible. And I would say that the process goes knowledge first, understanding. Okay, that understanding is the vehicle in which you take that knowledge and you apply it. And then what results, what's birthed of that is wisdom. Okay, let me show you that here in Proverbs chapter 2. Look at verse number 1. So the Bible says this, my son. Okay, and you need to put your name there. So my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Okay, so remember, if then, okay, look at verse 3. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding. Okay, so we are to cry after knowledge. We are to desire, to want, to seek knowledge. Facts, awareness, those types of things, okay? And then we need to lift up our voice for understanding, meaning we need to take that knowledge and be able to apply it in various situations, okay? Verse number 4, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, verse 5, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord. You see that if then? Look at that if then. One more time, verse 4. If thou seekest her as silver, and searchest for her as for hid treasures. Look at verse 5. Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Okay, that is the process there. Look at verse 6. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Okay, and then he tells you how the Lord gives wisdom here. Look at the rest of the verse. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge. So that is a picture of you reading the word of God that he has given us, this knowledge. You're reading it, you're taking it in, or maybe you're listening to it, okay? And then what does he say? Okay, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. Okay, remember we talked about this. When you take in this knowledge, when you're reading the Word of God, that's eating the Word of God. Well, that meditation process, you thinking on these things, trying to comprehend that, that's the digestion. That's the part that most people lack today. They know all these facts. I watched 5,000 sermons. I watched every documentary. I got this, this, and this. They got all these facts. They've got awareness, but they got no understanding, which is why sometimes, like I'll tell you a story. I was at a conference one time, this is a couple years back, and I was listening to these guys talk, and they go to one of the churches, and they're like, I'm going to make this preacher give me five good reasons. I'm going to make him do it. He's going to give me five good reasons why he don't like Trump. And I was going to say something. I was like, nah, I want to see the blow up first. You know? I didn't get to see it. I heard about it later, but it's like, how could you be so dumb? How could you be so inconsiderate to another brother in Christ? What is wrong with you? Oh, that's right. Okay. The larger our ignorance of God is, the smaller your view is of the brethren. That's how this thing works. We don't want that. We want the total package. We want the knowledge. We want the understanding, and we want the wisdom. That's how we are to operate. Verse 7, he layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. If you're saved, God has laid up and stored sound wisdom for you. You just have to want it. You just have to go seek it and get it, and it's yours for the taking. Look at the rest of the verse. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. The Bible says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. So when a person decides, you know what, I want to go and I want to actually serve God, the only way that you can do that is by learning what the Bible says on that subject. You cannot make it up as you go. I think all of us would agree. And again, I say this all the time. In that process, that's when you're going to take this knowledge and you're going to try to understand it. You're going to stumble a little bit. You're going to make some mistakes. You're going to have some faults. And you're going to learn from those mistakes, and God's going to impute into you wisdom as a result. But as you desiring to want to walk uprightly and be separate from the world, okay, you know what that does? That gives you wisdom. That's what that does. That gives you wisdom. Okay, but it's a total package. So we want to be a people that's not just about facts. The facts are good. You need them. You need the knowledge. You need the awareness. You need all that. You have to have that. Look, you have, if you're going to digest something, you got to have food. Okay, right? But who wants to sit at a table and just eat a bunch of food and not have it digest, right? You get indigestion. You get all these other issues and these problems, and your skin breaks out and you get malnourished, and you guys know the story, okay? The same thing applies spiritually, and that's what we're looking at here with Jonah tonight. Look at verse number 8. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Now you can leave your place there in Proverbs 2. Go back to Jonah chapter number 4. So again, number 2, ignorance of knowledge versus understanding. Okay, this is what we're seeing with Jonah. Okay, the first point was ignorance of God's insight. And the second one is ignorance of knowledge versus understanding. Remember, you know, if you're an 80s kid like me, you watch G.I. Joe, part of the jingle was knowing's half the battle, okay? A lot of us, you know, that are from the 80s, we know that statement, but have you ever thought about what that means? Who wants to go to battle with half the tools, okay? Who wants to go to battle knowing how your rifle works, knowing how to throw a grenade, knowing battle maneuvers, understanding how to shoot, move, and communicate, but you got no weapon? Okay, well, I got half the battle. No, you want the whole battle. You want the full armor of God. Okay, that's what we're talking about. Look at verse number 3. So the Bible says this. Therefore, now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me. For it is better for me to die than to live. Like, how did you get here, Jonah? How did you get here? How did this happen? It happened because of ignorance. It happened because he failed to understand how God sees versus how we see. He failed to understand the difference from verse 2 in what he described about the attributes of God. He knew all about God. He'd been preaching God. He knew that. But he did not fully comprehend. He did not understand. What did that result in? Him having an emotional breakdown so intense he wants to die. He's like, God, if you're not going to kill them, then kill me. Talk about a spoiled rotten brat. Look at verse 4. Then said the Lord, doest thou well to be angry? Right? Look at the mercy that God's even showing him. He's like, Are you doing good right now? Like, are you seriously okay, Jonah? Is this a good behavior for you? Rhetorical question, obviously. Look at verse number 5, and we'll get to point number 3. So verse 5 says, so Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth and sat under it in the shadow till he might see. Now pay attention to this here. Till he might see what would become of the city. So he's upset, wants God to kill him, but he's like, I'm going to go out of the city and I'm going to watch. I'm going to see what's God going to do. Okay. I'm going to see what happens. He's probably thinking like, okay, maybe I'm not understanding this here. Look at verse 6. And the Lord God prepared a gourd and made it to come up over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. Now look at this. So Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd. So verse 1, we see that he's exceedingly angry, that he's exceedingly displeased. He's very upset. Okay. Now he's very happy because this gourd pops up and now he's got shade so he can watch the show. So what's going on here? Okay. Well, Jonah's preached God's promises. Right, he just got done doing that, okay? And now he leaves, he's like, God's provided me some shade. He's just chilling under the bush. He's like, this is great. Now I'm happy. I got it. It was all a big misunderstanding, okay? But you know what happens next, okay? And so we're going to say this, that obviously Jonah was ignorant of God's insight. He was ignorant of the understanding between knowledge versus understanding. And now we see that he's ignorant of God's promises. So what does that result in? Well, that results in him misreading the sign. He misreads that gourd. He thinks, God's got my back. He is going to blow these fools up after all. Go to 2 Peter chapter number 3. 2 Peter chapter number 3. So when we're ignorant of God's promises like the world is, what does that lead to? Okay, it leads to emotions eating us alive. That's what it does. You'll see a quick example of this here from Peter. So for 2 Peter chapter number 3, look at verse number 1. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. So Peter is exhorting us here. He wants to stir up our minds and he wants to get us excited, motivated, and understanding the urgency of remembering something. What is it? Verse 2, that ye may be mindful. Okay, we want to be mindful, thinking, stirred up about something. He says that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. So he's like, hey, I want you guys to be well-versed in the Old Testament and the New Testament. This is going to do something very great for you. Okay. And then he's going to contrast that with people that don't have this as an option here. Look at verse 3. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts. Okay. Look at verse 4. And saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Okay, and so you see this in Christianity today. You see this in the world today. People know because everyone talks about it. Talk about Christ returning, right? Everybody talks about it. But what's the attitude? Well, the attitude is, well, in the original languages, we had this, so we don't really know, but we hope, and that's good enough. And what do you get? You get people walking after their own lust. That's why you get these mega churches with thousands of people in them, and they get rich and they get all this money. It's because they cater to these lusts because they don't understand the promises of God. It leads to absolute disaster. And what does that do on the world's end? Well, the world's like, oh, you guys have been talking about it. It's coming for thousands of years. It hasn't happened. We just keep going through these historical cycles over and over. Nothing's ever going to change. And then one day, what's going to happen? Bam! Everything is going to completely sideswipe reality into the hearts and minds of the world, and they are going to find themselves in a predicament that they never saw coming, and that is take this mark or get killed. And you know the story from there. Now go back to Jonah chapter 4. We'll start to wrap this thing up here. So the application here is that an ignorance of God's promises are going to eat you alive. Jonah just preached to this whole town, man. He just preached to these 600,000 people God's promises. And yet he finds himself looking at a gourd that grew up overnight like, oh yeah, okay, yeah, God's going to blow these people up, even though he just said he wouldn't if they met his demands. Okay? Completely ignorant of God's promises are going to eat you alive. Let me show you that in the chapter. Look at verse number 7. So the Bible says this, but. Okay, so now remember, verse 1, he's exceeding angry. Verse number 6, he's exceedingly happy. Look at verse 7. But God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd that it withered. Verse 8, and it came to pass when the sun did arise that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah that he fainted and wished himself to die and said, it is better for me to die than to live. So the ignorance of God's promise that he preached out of his own mouth, that he knew with his own mind, that ignorance led to emotional destruction. It led a person of God, a prophet, a saved, born-again prophet of God, okay, to want to die, to want God to kill him. That's how upset he was. Look at verse number 9. God said to Jonah, doest thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry, even unto death. If that doesn't display ignorance, then I don't know what does. Okay? That is ignorant. You say, how in the world can a prophet, somebody who knows and is aware of all this information, be that ignorant? And again, it's because he doesn't understand God's insight on the human race that he created, which is the point of him raising up that gourd. God raised that up to show Jonah, hey, guess what? I'm providing you with a shade in your ignorance right now, and I can take it away. Okay, do you do well to be angry? No, because you didn't build it, you didn't water it, you didn't grow it, you didn't plant it, you didn't create it. I did. So therefore, you have no right to be angry for the gourd, and therefore you have no right to be angry over the Ninevites and their salvation. Okay, verse 10. Then said the Lord, thou hast had pity on the gourd, for the which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night and perished. In a night. We're going to end it right here. Verse 11. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle. So again, what is this about? This, plain and simple, is about how God deals with ignorance. Okay, God looked at the ignorance of the Ninevites. He saw on the inside and said, you know what? I can actually see that if somebody would just go preach to these people, they would get saved. They would believe and they would stop this madness. He finds the right guy, and that guy is Jonah, a seasoned prophet, okay, who finds himself getting the word of God, running away from God, then running with God, running to God, then running with God, and then now he's getting run over by God because of his ignorance of God. Okay? So Jonah, three things that he teaches us in this passage is that we should not be ignorant of God's insights. We should not be ignorant of the difference in the value of knowledge and understanding, because both of those put together breed wisdom, which we need if we're going to be profitable for Christ. And then lastly, he displays what happens when we are ignorant of God's promises. It destroys us emotionally. It causes us to basically look at our surroundings and like, oh, that's a sign from God. Oh, that's a sign from God. Oh, yeah, this must be a sign from God. I'm doing right. Okay, no, if you want those signs, okay, get that out of your mind. Go to this book, okay? Read, understand, ask people that are doing the same. That's how we get counsel. That's how we get understanding. That's how we proceed. That's how God's built this checks and balances system. Okay? Knowledge, understanding, wisdom. His word, preaching, and the church, right? We have each other for this purpose. So Jonah ran the race. Right? He did run the race. It's what another thing that this book teaches us, that God set before Jonah a race. And what happened? Well, he tripped over his own ignorance, which basically boils down to national pride. Like, hey, we're the Hebrews here. You know, these people don't deserve it. They don't deserve your grace. And of course, the one sentence that I would definitely say sums up the whole book, and the main application is really this: the larger our ignorance of God, the smaller our view is toward the brethren. Okay, that's just a fact. That is just the way that it is. You see that in life. You see that in the Bible. And so what are we to do about this? Well, we need to understand God's characteristics. Jonah knew him. He quoted him in verse 2. He quoted him, how merciful, how gracious, how slow to anger. Okay, but he did not understand it. Therefore, he was lacking wisdom, got ran over by his own mistakes. So let's end that there. Bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Thank you, Lord, so much for preserving these truths for us. Just pray to help us to not only be motivated, but be disciplined in learning about your characteristics, that we might comfort one another and help out any way possible. And we thank you for this, Lord. Please bless the fellowship after the service and bring us all back safely this weekend. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.